This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out the details that are relevant for explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers, and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus on two details that pertain to apologetics. The first comes from the first reading, taken from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5 and 9 through 11. Its apologetical significance comes to light when read in tandem with the gospel reading, which is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And the apologetical topic that relates is Jesus' divinity. The second detail comes from the second reading, taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. The related topics there are predestination and Christian universalism. So let's get started with the detail from the first reading. The verses that I want to highlight are verses 3 and 9. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Then in verse 9, "Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." Okay, so that's from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 and 9. Now, the thing to note here is that it speaks of God. A highway is made straight for God, and the voice says, "Behold your God." Now, given that we've already talked about this prophecy in relation to Matthew's appeal to it, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, which was episode 2, the episode for the second Sunday of Advent for year A, I'm not going to dwell on it here. You can re-listen to episode 2 of the podcast to get the details. But suffice to say that these details, when read in tandem with Mark's quotation of Isaiah chapter 3, verse 3, found in the gospel reading for this upcoming Sunday, reveal Mark's belief in Jesus' divinity. And here's the reasoning. If the voice prepares a way for God, and Mark identifies John the Baptist, who is preparing a way for Jesus to be that voice, well, then it follows that Mark believes Jesus to be divine, just like Matthew in Matthew chapter 3. So the first reading and the gospel reading for this upcoming second Sunday of Advent year B give us an opportunity to reflect on Mark's belief in the divinity of Jesus. So you could say it's the divinity of Jesus according to Mark. Whereas in episode 2, second Sunday of Advent for year A, it was the divinity of Jesus according to the Gospel of Matthew. All right, now the next detail from this upcoming Sunday's readings that has apologetical significance comes from the second reading, which is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. I'm not going to read the entire passage, but the key verse to focus on is verse 9. "The Lord does not delay his promise, as some regard delay, but he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, there are a few apologetical topics that this detail relates to, two to be exact. First, it relates to the topic of predestination. Predestination is the theological doctrine that God elects slash chooses to bestow upon some the grace of final perseverance, in virtue of which those upon whom such a grace is bestowed go to heaven. We talked about that grace in the episode for last Sunday's readings. But the question that arises is, what about those who end up in hell? Are they, quote unquote, predestined in the same manner as those predestined to heaven? That's to say, positively willed slash moved to reject God and thereby merit damnation? Now, that question is coming from an understanding of how God moves someone with the grace of final perseverance to choose God and die with that choice. Understanding the philosophical presuppositions here that any act that we engage in is ultimately caused by God, the first cause. Any act that we engage in is ultimately moved from potentiality to actuality by the first mover, who is God. God is the source of all being. So whatever is, whatever exists outside of God is caused by God. My act, my choice to love God, to remain in friendship with God is a part of being. It is actuality. There is actuality there. And so therefore is caused by God. And God moves my will to choose him in a positive manner. So the question is, what about those who go to hell? Are they predestined in that same manner? Are they positively moved by God to reject God and thereby merit damnation? And here's where 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 comes into play. Given 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we must say no. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches as much, quoting 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 for support. The Catechism states, God predestines no one to go to hell. For this, a willful turning away from God of mortal sin is necessary, and persistence in it until the end. In the Eucharistic liturgy and the daily prayers of her faithful, the Church implores the mercy of God, who does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance, quoting 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Note the verb predestines there in the Catechism. This refers to God's positive election of some within this order of providence to receive a grace that moves the will to remain faithful to God until death and thereby attain final salvation. This is a positive willing on God's part. According to the Catechism, God doesn't will damnation along these same lines. In other words, God doesn't positively will that some within this order of providence choose against God until death and thereby attain eternal damnation. He's not moving these people to damnation by causing them to sin. God can't do this, metaphysically speaking, lest he fail to love himself, which is absurd. Rather, God permits some to fall into sin and remain in such sin until death. There is an essential difference between God directly causing slash moving the will to remain faithful to him and God permitting the will to defect from the measure of reason and fall into mortal sin and permitting such a person to remain in that mortal sin. There is an essential difference between the two. Now, such permission of damnation raises the question, how does this jibe with God's desire that no man should perish? There seems to be an incompatibility between the revelation that God desires none to be lost and the revelation that some are in fact lost, assuming here that some are in fact lost. If God desires all to be saved, so the reasoning goes, and his will can't be frustrated, well, then it would seem all must be saved, in which case no one would go to hell, and the belief of Christian universalism would be true, the belief that all will be saved in the end. But most Christians reject this kind of universalism. So do we have to give up on the doctrine of hell to affirm Peter's statement here in 2 Peter 3, 9? To state the question differently, it would seem that what St. Peter teaches here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 is in conflict with the Christian understanding of the reality of hell. Now, perhaps we can begin to resolve this tension by drawing a parallel with sin. Take the statement, God desires slash wills that no one sin, a statement that's consistent not only with philosophical reasoning, but also with divine revelation. One way to interpret this would be to say that God wills, that's to say, positively causes everyone to, in fact, actually persevere in the good and never turn away from it, never turn away from the good. And obviously, this is not what we mean, since not everyone is like the Blessed Virgin. Another interpretation would be that God wills, that's to say, creates or determines a certain order for human behavior insofar as we're rational animals that sin would contravene or conflict with. Think about it. God has created us with a nature that serves as the measure for what's good for us insofar as we're human beings. Given that this order of good inscribed within our nature is constitutes the nature that God has created us with, we can say that God wills what's good for us insofar as we are human beings. Now, God also created us with powers for the sake of knowing this order of good and behaving in a way that's consistent with it. We call these powers intellect and free will. So, for any voluntary behavior that's not consistent with or conflicts with this order of good, i.e. sin, we can say that's contrary to God's will. Why? Because someone engaged in a human act that contradicts or violates God's established design or order for a human act, namely consistency with conformity to what's good for us as human beings. On this interpretation, the statement God desires or wills that no one sin is in no tension with the fact that some people actually sin. The metaphysical reality is simply that some people use free will to contravene God's established order or design for how humans ought to behave. So when we say God wills or desires that no one sin, God wills that human beings behave in a way that's consistent with their human good. That's a translation of the statement, God wills that no one sin. Now, with this in mind, let's come back to Peter's statement in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God desires no one to perish, but that all should come to repentance. We can read Peter's statement like that of our interpretation of the statement, God desires no one to sin. Namely, God has willed or ordained that within this scheme of providence, we have a certain order to a supernatural end of heaven, a condition of which is repentance, which the damned contravene when they end their lives in final impenitence. In this sense, we can accurately say God wills no one to perish, and those who do perish constitute a state of affair that's contrary to God's will. In other words, everyone is created by God with a supernatural, that is to say, over and above nature, ordination to heaven, and someone who dies in final impenitence would contravene such an order. That's the metaphysical reality. Consequently, on this interpretation, the statement, God desires no one to perish and come to repentance, is not in tension with the revealed fact that some end up not repenting and perishing. And given this line of reasoning, we can conclude that Christians don't have to give up on the doctrine of hell and embrace Christian universalism to affirm 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. There's a plausible explanation as to what Peter means without having to affirm that God ensures that all will be saved. In fact, the bottom line is that it's expressive of God establishing an order that we have to a supernatural end of heaven. And any such sin that contravenes that order is contravening God's will. And so we can say God wills all to be saved. God desires no one to sin. That is to say, God has ordered our human behavior such that it not contravene the order that we have to our supernatural end, i.e. heaven. Well, my friends, that does it for this episode of the Sunday Catholic Word. The readings for this upcoming second Sunday of Advent year B provide us with ample opportunity to prepare ourselves for some apologetical discussions, especially when it comes to the early Christian belief in Jesus' divinity. In this case, it would be Mark's belief, the belief that God doesn't predestine, quote unquote, anyone to hell. That is to say, he doesn't positively will or move someone to reject him definitively. To reject him, period, much less definitively, right? And how to meet a challenge of Christian universalism. The appeal to 2 Peter 3, 9, some might say, conflicts with and proves the doctrine of hell is not a reality. As always, I want to thank you for subscribing to the podcast, and please be sure to tell your friends about it and invite them to subscribe as well at SundayCatholicWord.com. You might also want to check out the other great podcasts in our Catholic Answers podcast network, Cy Kellett's Catholic Answers Focus, Trent Horn's The Council of Trent, Joe Heschmeyer's Shameless Popery, and Jimmy Akin's A Daily Defense, all of which can be found at Catholic.com. And as always, if you're interested in getting some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, go to shop.catholic.com. Friends, I hope you have a blessed second Sunday of Advent. Until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.